Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Embracing Your Essence on Lilydale Radio, live on Blog Talk, as well as Facebook Live on my page. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Colleen van der Zijden. I am a registered medium at Lilydale, and I'm also a certified intuitive life coach. And what I love to do more than anything is help people live their best lives, help them handle their problems and all of those issues that we can do. So today's topic, we are going to be talking about grief. Okay, when we think about grief, we immediately think of the loss of a loved one, but there is more to it than that. I have so much I have to say about grief that feel free, as always, to ask questions in the Facebook feed. I'll try to catch them because I want to make sure I'm giving you information that is helpful and that is going to be there for you as you process your own grief in so many different ways. There's a lot to say. So before I get to the details, again, I'm Colleen van der Zijden, and you can connect with me at psychicmediumcolleen.com or colleenvanderzijden.com. Same place, just easier spelling for one or the other. Follow me, of course, on my page, Colleen van der Zijden, medium and intuitive life coach, and follow Lilydale. Lilydaleassembly.org is the website, and Lilydale Assembly Incorporated on Facebook. So as I said, we are going to be talking about grief tonight. I will be teaching a grief workshop this summer. Lilydale is having a special Love Never Dies weekend, the weekend of July 17th. And on the 18th, I will be teaching a workshop on processing grief. We will have other workshops going on as well. Ellen Bourne is going to do one. Jake Samoyedny is going to do one. We're going to have a butterfly release. And on that Saturday night, we're going to have messages from the other side. There is a special speaker coming in. I think her name is Jamie Turndorf. I could be wrong on that, something like that. So she's coming in to do a talk on grief and how it works. So to get to it, I have so much to say. As I was saying at the very beginning, I have so much to say about grief. Feel free to ask questions during the feed, the Facebook feed. I'll try to catch them as they go by because I do have so much to talk about. I'm going to get right to it. So hello, everybody. Nice to see you. Hi, Alicia. I know I love Florida. Well, I just like being warm. That's really the big thing. So grief, we are going to talk about what grief is, how the process works for grief. We're going to talk about how society's expectations may have influenced how we process grief or how we are supported or not supported as we go through our own grief processes. We are going to talk about how we can experience incomplete or unresolved grief and how that actually is what keeps us stuck. We haven't resolved our grief. I'm going to talk about some ideas to help you move the energy so that you can get used to being in your new reality. And I'm also going to talk, if there's time, about helping people and supporting people and the path that they have in grief. Now, when we're talking about this, I want to be clear that grief is not just when somebody passes to the other side. We can experience grief for many things, the loss of a job, an end of a relationship, a natural disaster, our house burning up, or a horrible thing happens, we lose all our possessions. It can happen if we lose our health, we can have grief. It's when we have this normal, natural response to loss. And it can come, as I'm saying, with anything that happens in your life where you're experiencing some kind of loss. It could be you could experience grief for how recognizing that you're not going to have the life you thought you were going to have. That can spur grief. It could be from you're not who you think you are, and all of a sudden you wonder about that, and you feel disconnected, and you think, oh, I don't know, and you get stuck there. My theories are if you have an understanding of how grief works, if you understand how it affects you, how you've been trained, conditioned, I keep talking about human conditioning, how you've been conditioned to process grief, it may help you move through it easier with less pain, or at the very least, not be left hanging with incomplete, difficult grief still affecting you. Okay. Yes, Metamorphosis is already saying, I look forward to this advice. My mother is ill, and I'm finding myself already grieving whenever I allow my mind to stop. And this is a perfectly normal, natural thing. If something is happening in our lives, somebody we love is sick, and we're concerned about the outcome, we will start to move in the grief process ahead of time. Sometimes that can be beneficial and sometimes not. Okay, so you'll find out more as we get going here. But those are some thoughts of what could be happening here. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me. Hi, Joanna. Hi, Darlene. Hi, Barb. Nice to see you. So grief, I've already talked about what it is, how it affects us. It's that normal, natural loss. It's a response to loss. Unfortunately, grief can be cumulative. So we may have one experience a long time ago where somebody died or we lost something important, we lost an animal, whatever it is, and we never really processed it then. So then something else happens later in our lives, and it just adds together and makes this big pile of weight that we are carrying around with us as we're processing life itself, but we're carrying this unresolved grief with us. It comes with us, and we can get stuck in that. When we have unfinished grief, it uses a lot of energy. I'm sure many of you have experienced the end of a relationship, perfectly normal thing, where we might experience some grief, and you never really finish it. You know, you don't have that final conversation, or you don't get to speak your mind, speak your peace. And so the communication hasn't been finished yet. And that can get in your way if you're looking for a new relationship, because you're carrying that baggage around and you haven't processed the grief yet. So we will talk a little bit about different ways to process grief a little bit later in the show, and that may help you try them out, because I have experimented with them myself and with other people, and they seem to help people change the energy. When we're stuck in the emotions, our energy is stuck, literally stuck, and we have to get it moving. Now, of course, I'm going to talk about grief from the passing of a loved one. That's a little bit different than a relationship. They can both be traumatic, but the loss of a loved one, including animals here, can really affect us in such a way that we don't think we can get past it. We don't believe we can. Now, as you're moving through grief, of course, you're going to have the initial reactions and the shock and all of those, and we will talk about the steps in 2 seconds, but you'll have those. And you have to allow yourself time to process. You're not going to have somebody die on Friday and by Monday you're feeling fine. That's not how it works. It's individual. You're going to move through this at your own rate, and you'll do what you need to do to feel best for you. It's very individual in also how we handle grief. Some people are very good at it. They're very matter of fact, well, things happen, and they just move into acceptance very quickly. Others very much struggle trying to figure out how to move forward, where they can't even think at all. We grieve in our own way. There is no right or wrong way. If anyone ever says to you, and you're in grief, says, oh, I can't believe you're not over this yet, you should be done with this, that is so not cool. That is wrong, and it's diminishing what you're feeling. So you're going to grieve in your own way. You might think you're fine after somebody passes or whatever, even a relationship ending or anything, and then you'll be re-triggered by something you didn't expect. Of course, when a loved one passes, we know we're going to be triggered on the holidays. We're going to be triggered on birthdays, the anniversary of the death date. But what we don't realize is we may also be triggered on the day we have to sell our deceased husband's car. Or on the day our child who passed, which is a whole another ballgame of trauma, our child's cat dies. So we've lost our child. Now we've lost the only living thing that belonged to that child. We're going to be triggered by those things. You could be triggered by changing a light bulb because you don't know how to open the fixture because you never did it before. These things, as simple as that is, can be very traumatic. And as somebody who's been through some of these things, it's very important for us to acknowledge how we really feel. Be honest with ourselves. Acknowledge it. Don't hide. Okay, we'll talk about more in that 2 seconds too. I have so much to say, like I said. I'm going to check the comments. Hi, Karen. Nice to see you. Darlene is saying, I seem to be stuck in my thoughts and feelings since my son's death, and that is perfectly normal and natural, Darlene. I cannot remember when you said your son passed, but I seem to recall it was fairly recently. So give yourself the time and the emotional honesty as best you can. We've all heard about the stages of grief, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's stages of grief. I will go over them in case you've forgotten them. Denial is one of them. And I do want to emphasize, too, that these are the stages she came up with, but that doesn't mean we're going to go right through all five in order. Okay, we might skip right to one, do one, then go to five, then back to three, then back to one. And we might be all over the map. And there are also other things you're going to experience as you're processing grief, many things. So we have the denial. Okay, that's the shock. Then we have anger. This isn't fair. This isn't right. I can't believe this happened. And depending on the situation, there could be also other comments and feelings related to anger. We have the bargaining. You know, if I do this, then maybe that won't happen. And God, if you help me with this, then that. I promise I'll do this or that. There's the bargaining. Then we have the depression, of course, which is the deep sadness. Okay. And then we move into acceptance. It sounds so simple and straightforward, but it's not at all. The feelings of grief also include things like a reduced concentration. Or no matter what kind of grief you're experiencing, you lose your job, you're going to go into shock, and then you're not going to be able to focus because you're still trying to figure out how to process this. You're going to have some numbness where somebody passes and you have to go to the grocery store. And I remember after my brother died, having to go on with my life and thinking, what is happening? Why do I still have to go do this? Why do I still go to the store? Why do I still have to pay my bills? Before I went home for his funeral, I had to sit down and pay my bills. And I'm so unfocused on this. Like, how do I do this? And that's a perfectly normal response. Life goes on, but we're stuck in this little bubble in this shell as we're trying to process what's happening in our lives. We can also experience, of course, the disrupted sleep and eating and all of that. We have the emotional ups and downs. We all know about that. We might fixate on those memories. We remembered what happened here and what happened there. Remember when we did this. Remember when we did that. And we revisit circumstances. And sometimes we can get stuck in there because that's all we're thinking about. There's so much. I've got so much to say. I'm trying to figure out what to go to next. I'm just going to keep going about the different things we may experience. We may experience guilt. Now, as a medium, of course, we talk to people on the other side, people who have passed. That is the point of doing a mediumship reading, connecting in with somebody on the other side, bringing through information so we know we're talking to a person in particular, and then bringing through a message. Now, for those of you who are affiliated with Lily Dale in some way or understand mediumship, the readings may be a very big part of your healing process because we do get those messages, which can really help us process what's happening. There can be a hazard here, however. If you go into a reading absolutely expecting, wanting to talk to a specific person, and that person doesn't come through, if you're not prepared for that, it could send you into a different place. And that's why I tell a lot of people, a lot of my clients who maybe have had somebody pass on the more recent side, to wait a little bit before they come to a reading, because it is up to the spirits to decide who's coming and what they want to say. If your loved one doesn't come, that doesn't mean you've done something wrong. That doesn't mean they're not in heaven. That doesn't mean they don't want to talk to you. Okay, that doesn't mean that at all. It could mean any number of things that we don't know yet. Okay, it may not be the right time. I've had a couple of readings where the spirit didn't come in right away that the person really wanted to talk to, and then eventually did. And I realized the more I talked to the spirit that the spirit was concerned that their presence in the reading was going to make the emotional reaction worse. and send my client sitting in front of me into this place. And they didn't want to do that. They wanted to protect the client. And they thought, so to speak, if they didn't show up right away, it might be better that way. So never get there too early. Don't get there too early. I have had spirits come in like quickly, like within a day. But I never want anybody to be so attached to a specific certain spirit when they come to a reading, because if they do that, it actually shuts the energy down. And then the person you want to talk to can't get in. So maybe I've had spirits come in who were 20, 21 years old, and the mother's sitting in front of me. Very hard situation for me and everyone. And so the son comes in, but doesn't come in right away. First, I have the mother's father comes in, just to open the doorway, if you will, and then the son can come through fully. So always be very accepting of who wants to come in spirit-wise. Okay, a little digression there, but I wanted to be clear that there are no magic solutions to your grief. I'm not going to tell you anything that you're going to all of a sudden go, oh my God, I feel so much better. I don't think. If I do, let me know. But I don't think that's going to happen, because we have to come to the resolution of our grief in our own way. But maybe some of the things I share tonight can help you process and can help you get to the point where you move into that acceptance and can adjust to this new reality. You're not going to get through the grief and go back to the way life used to be. Not going to happen. When we have grief, we're moving into a new reality and a new version of ourselves, a new way of living. We may not want to be there, but that's the way it is. So eventually we do get to that spot where we move into an acceptance and an understanding. I'm going to look at the comments because I haven't done that in ages. Ashley is saying, I've learned through my experience that people think the stages of grief are linear and they feel like they aren't healing when they go backwards. Oh, such a great statement, Ashley. Those stages of grief, you know, we learn them in school and we think, oh, good, I'm at acceptance. And we don't realize we're going to get re-triggered again. It could be 20 years later and something might trigger us, but that's natural and normal. So we must never, ever put ourselves down feeling as though we haven't progressed as well as we should have, or as well as somebody else did, or as well as society thinks we should. Like I said before, grief, we move in our own way, our own way. Nobody can tell us how to get there, really. Nobody can tell us what's exactly going to happen, and nobody really understands our own grief. We can have an idea, but everybody processes it in their own way. I was saying, sometimes I feel stupid for feeling sad after the loss of a relationship, and we should never feel stupid for that, because it is a form of grief, and it's something we do have to go through. Grief is very important to us. Grief helps us become more human, become more connected to other people. It develops more empathy and compassion with us. We have so much of a feeling of connection with others. When we've gone through something and then we see somebody else is going through something similar, we understand and maybe we're better at helping be there for them. And when we look at ourselves in such a good way where we recognize that, yes, you know, I'm doing the best I can processing it, and it's okay. I'm doing the best I can, and it's okay. So we don't need to feel stupid. Metamorphosis, I think subconsciously I'm terrified I will not get to say goodbye. I did not to my father in 2007, and it took me so long to understand that he was not angry with me for that. Okay, I can tell you that from all of the communications I've had with Spirit on the other side, what I finally realized, everything they've communicated, was that whoever is there with them when they pass is who is supposed to be there with them. If you're not there with them when they pass, there is nothing wrong with you. You shouldn't be guilty for that. You shouldn't feel like you should have done something different or anything like that. For whatever reason, there's a reason. Maybe the person who was passing didn't want you to have that as a last memory. Maybe They thought it would be too much for you to handle. Maybe they just wanted to pass by themselves. So there's a lot to be considered here. We carry a lot of guilt when we think we've done something wrong and haven't been there for somebody else, especially when they pass. We want to be there. We want to help them. And when we miss that, it leaves, in some ways, for many of us, it leaves a bigger hole, because we feel like we somehow failed. But I can tell you without a doubt, 1,000,000%, that I have never had a spirit say to me, I can't believe you didn't make it there on time. What's wrong with you? Or I can't believe you weren't there. I have never heard anything like that from the other side. So trust that whatever happens is for the best. And also, of course, stepping into more information here, if you're watching this show, you understand life continues. You understand their soul, their spirit is there. You can still talk to them and communicate with them. There are people who don't believe that that's the case. They believe that when you die, you're dead, you're gone, you're not going to see them again, ever. And I don't believe that. I feel that we are all connected. We can communicate, of course. And so we can always continue to talk to them, no matter what is happening. Patty is saying, I miss my son in a truly suffocating way, but I'm sorry, Patty, but I also grieve the life he wasn't able to live, the things he missed, and I grieve my life as a mom and struggle to find a new way. I sometimes think he's sending hellos and would love to believe that his spirit lives on in some way. He definitely lives on, I can tell you that, and that is something we do grieve. We feel these the loss of what could have been. And that's part of the process of solving, or I don't like that word, resolving is a better word, resolving our grief, is dealing with those incompletenesses. I'm sure that's a word. Dealing with the incomplete things. Recognizing that, yes, Patty grieves the life he didn't have and the life that she planned to have further with him, and how difficult and challenging that is. So I will talk a little bit about a couple of ideas that may help that process. We feel sometimes that we should have, like I was saying, done something differently. We feel we should have fixed it. We feel guilt sometimes. And particularly, more lately, of course, with overdose deaths, I've had quite a few people come in who have had somebody pass from an overdose, and the person, the physical person in my room, is talking a lot about feeling like they should have been able to stop them, and the spirit is saying, no, they made their own choices, they're responsible for themselves. But it is natural for us to feel as though we should have done something or could have done something. It's our inner way of trying to figure it out, trying to process everything. If we get stuck in that, that's where the problem comes in. If it was an accident, you know, you somehow were involved in the passing of somebody or in whatever, you know, losing a relationship or a job, things like that. If it's an accident, you can apologize for it, of course, even though they're passed on the other side. It's okay. It works. It still works that way. They hear you all of the time. When we have this grief, our initial reactions after we were processing all those different emotions I talked about previously, we resist it as much as possible. We resist the grief. We think we should get through it easier, faster. We try to skip parts. We ignore, we deny it. And it's very important that we experience it in the totality of it. If we have to cry and cry and cry and cry, that's fine. I had a client I was talking to a little while ago, and somebody very important had died. And she was saying that her friends were wanting her to do things, and she just came right out very honestly and said, I'm sorry, I can't right now. I just can't. I need to be alone and I need to work on this and process this. And they were very understanding, but I was very proud of her for having said what she really felt and acknowledging the grief she was feeling. We have been taught to hide it. That's part of the reason why we resist it and deny it. We've been taught to hide it. Oh, you'll get over it. But when we have the loss of a loved one, grief is really, the amount of grief we have is love. It's the love. Grief is expressing our love for the person. When we recognize that and believe it, it's so much easier to process the grief because we're just loving. That's what we're doing. So rather than resisting it, resisting the grief and forcing it away and denying it, go step into it and say, you know what, I love my person so much that if I have to cry for a whole year, I'm going to do that. Because when you open it up and allow it to be expressed, you will be amazed at the emotions that come through, yes, but also how much lighter you feel and how connected you will feel to your loved one. It's really, that is about as magical as I can tell you. That's really miraculous. When we have this loss, okay, I've got to look at the comments again. I told you to give me comments, and here I am just talking and talking and not letting you talk. Oh, good. Mary is saying, I had a reading 4 months after the death of my dad, and the reading was very healing and made my feelings true. Isn't that wonderful when that happens, when we get that validation from a reading and we just know without a doubt that we've been talking to that person on the other side? It's truly a blessing that we can do this. I saw a post from a friend of mine. Let's see. Charlotte is saying, I saw a post from a friend of mine who posted of a young man early in his life she knew, but I did not. I am a medium. When I saw the post of the young man tonight who just passed on, I felt an extreme sense of sorrow and heaviness. I literally cried. I do not know him. I feel connected somehow. And Charlotte, that is a blessing. What that is, Charlotte, is you have such an amount of love in your heart and such a great amount of empathy and compassion. My guess, my feeling is that you would have been picking up on his family or friends' sense of grief and relating to it and feeling that connection there. As we work as mediums and as we become more sensitive to the other side and sensitive to our emotions and letting them be expressed, we may cry more frequently. We may experience more emotions. And that's a beautiful thing because that means we are living with as much meaning and living as fulfilling as possible. And having that compassion and empathy, we could use as much of that in the world as possible. We don't, as I said, don't get over our grief. We're just adjusting to a new reality. We become a different person. When we're holding on to our grief or we're having a hard time letting it go, part of it is that feeling of incompleteness. We grieve what we should have had or what they could have had. And when we're in this, sometimes our spirituality might get a little bit damaged, where we get angry at God. Don't worry, God can take it. Where we doubt and we question, like, what kind of a world is this where there's so much pain? And when we start taking action to process that grief, our faith can be rebuilt. And, of course, we can pray, even if we don't feel the connection, we can still pray to God, the angel spirit, universal energy. We can communicate as we need to the spirit. So that can help as well. The problems here is when we have this unresolved grief, it's really perpetuated by society. You end a relationship or your dog dies. And somebody says, oh, don't feel bad. Oh, yeah, and don't feel bad. You'll get over it. What is that? Don't feel bad, you'll get over it? What it is people are misinformed, misdirected. They're trying to make you feel better by moving you into a different emotion. That doesn't work, okay? What it's doing is dismissing how you're feeling, which teaches you to shut down and not share. So if somebody says that to you, feel free to comment back. You don't have to be mean about it, but just say, well, but I'm really, you know, upset or whatever. And make sure you find people who can support you, who can listen to you. Sometimes people will say, if your dog dies or, oh, you can get a new dog. Can you imagine? Okay, now say your child dies. And how many times have we heard, oh, it's a good thing you have more? Like, really? Like, really? Like, this is a little statue you're just going to replace? No. So people sometimes, they don't know. They don't know better. So you've got to cut them a little slack here. Same thing with a relationship. Your relationship ends. Oh, you just go meet somebody new. So again, dismissing how you're feeling. Because of all these things, we move into grieving alone. We don't trust people to be there for us. We're trying to keep other people happy. We don't want to go out and meet a friend and then have them, you know, are they going to say something about your loss or not? You want them to, but they don't want to because they don't want to make you upset. And I still remember talking to one of my students had passed, and I ran into her mother, and she passed young. She was, I think, 19 and just died in her sleep. And I ran into her mother about a year later. I'd seen her before then, of course, but about a year later. And I said to her, well, so how are you doing? How are you really doing? And she just welled up in tears, you know. And I started sharing some stories about her daughter and how much fun her daughter was. Her daughter was slightly crazy, so we had such a great time. So I shared some of those stories, and it was important for her to hear them. Okay, it's important for us to acknowledge the loss. It's not that, you know, 3 months later, oh, everybody's fine, everything's great. No, some people, you know, they do much better in 6 months, sometimes a year, sometimes 2 years, sometimes 5 years. It depends, okay? So we always have to be open for that. Grieving alone can be beneficial because sometimes we want to. We need our own space. We just need a space. But if you're doing it too much, then it may be time to reach out to others, look for a support group or get counseling. But also understand that nobody is getting through this life without having experienced loss. Nobody is getting through it. I'm going to check comments again. Miscarriage. Melissa's asking about miscarriage. Yes, miscarriages are the loss of a child. They are definitely the loss of a child. I experienced two myself, and it's very, you know, your hopes and dreams are there. You know, you get excited and you're looking forward to having a child. There still is that sense of incompleteness and being able to process that, because sometimes people think, oh, it was a miscarriage. Okay, no big deal. Again, back to society and how society reacts here. Oh, no big deal. Well, you can just go get pregnant again, you know. Well, you know what? Sometimes that's not how it works. And so there's that feeling of incompleteness that's not validated by others. And that can make us feel very alone, really, and in a way wrong for grieving it. But again, reiterating, we are never wrong in how we grieve. Never. Never. You're never wrong in how you grieve. You have to do what's right for you. I always recommend that people who have lost a child, and I'm talking about a miscarriage, not a child later, a miscarriage, to send up a lot of prayers and just say, you know, I was so looking forward to that. But here's an interesting thing too. I have had this experience where I've talked to a client and I felt the miscarriage on the other side, or a baby who died earlier in life. And then I felt like they came back into life, that they came again, so that they got to come in a different body, if you will. And so I had felt that a few times. So that's an interesting thought, at the very least. You just never know. And also, I've gotten the message from them on the other side as well that there was a greater purpose in it. There may have been a reason that the mother needs to experience this, or the baby wasn't quite ready to be born yet, whatever it is. You know, but we still need to process the grief and the emotion. Sometimes people say after we've lost something, whatever it is, anything that we're grieving, time will heal. You'll feel better in time. That, again, dismisses how we're feeling. It depends what you do during that time. If you stay home and you're on and on and on, always fixating on your loss, that's all you think about after some time here where you're really only thinking about that, then time is not going to heal it. You have to do something different. The idea of being strong for others, okay, this recent loss with Kobe Bryant and his wife saying that she has to be strong for her children, which she does, and she is. she also has to make sure she takes time to grieve. I don't know her, so I don't know what she's doing. But she has to make sure she takes time to grieve and that she's not using being strong for somebody else, keeping busy, staying active as a way to ignore how she's feeling. Okay, so we have to keep that in mind too. There are two things that can happen sometimes when we lose somebody. And I was reading about this in the, what book was it? Grief Recovery Handbook, it's called. There's two things that we can do sometimes. We don't all do this. One is enshrinement. We lose somebody and all we do is focus on how wonderful they are. We don't change anything in the house forever, many years. We only focus on the positive and we idolize the person who passed. I had a client a long time ago who did that. His wife had passed and he would go on and on about how perfect she was, how she never did anything wrong. They never thought. Everything was absolutely perfect, and he was having a very hard time finding a new partner after she passed, after a significant amount of time, because nobody could compare to her perfection. So he had moved into the enshrinement phase. Then we also have the other side, which they call the bedevilment phase, where we cling to the negative. We just remember everything that was wrong with them, what a horrible person they were. This can happen a lot when we have somebody who may have abused us and who has passed on to the other side. We may just, you know, we feel, oh, thank God they're gone. They were so horrible. They were so mean to me. But what happens in both of these situations, enshrinement or bedevilment, is we are stuck in one perspective. And we're not allowing ourselves to look honestly at the person, to see all aspects of their personality. We're stuck in such a narrow perspective that we can't move on. Okay, this is tricky. A friend of mine's her father just died, and he was abusive. And he was telling me that he was having a very hard time with it, and he didn't expect it. He thought when his father passed, it would be this big relief, and he would be able to go, okay, whew, that part is done. I don't have to think about it anymore. But the problem was he didn't process the grief from the abuse. So he was still holding on to the grief from the abuse because that had never been resolved, that had never been completed. So when his father died, now the option, the possibility of completing it with his father isn't going to happen in the physical. It's not going to happen. So he has to find another way to process this. So that's what I was talking about earlier, how grief can be cumulative. We have one experience, we don't process it all the way, it's incomplete. It adds on to the next, adds on to the next. And before you know it, we're 70 years old and we've got all this grief hanging on us. So we have to be open, looking honestly at ourselves, how we're processing, but also at the person who passed, or also at the relationship that ended, or also at the future that we didn't have, that we thought we were going to have with our husband, our partner, our child, whatever it is, whoever it is. We have to look at that and be honest about how we're feeling. And that takes me back to feeling those emotions. We tend to be hard on ourselves. And we think, oh, I should be done with this by now. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe I'm not happy yet. But looking at that can lead you to what you need to work on to continue moving on with it. So recovering from grief, and it really is a recovery, isn't it, is we have to understand a little bit about how it works, which I've told you a little bit about, and shake up some of those beliefs about grief, you know. Decide that you want to recover. Some people don't. Some people want to stay stuck crying and whining and complaining forever about how life is so unfair and this happened 30 years ago and all of that. Some people don't want to. They don't want to move on. Other people feel that if they move through the grief and become happier again, that somehow that is going against the memory of the person who passed, that being happier might mean you're letting go of the love you had for the person who passed. And that's not true at all. I have yet to have a spirit say to me, I want you to be in misery for the rest of your life. I have never, ever had that happen. Every spirit that has ever talked about these things talks about how much they want you to be happy, how much they want you to enjoy your life now. That's what they want. They want you to be happy. They don't want you stuck in the grief. So many of them don't want to see you crying, but they don't want to see you upset. They don't want to feel like they're the cause. And not that they really feel that, because they have a much higher perspective than we do, but they want you to know how much they love you and how they want you to be happy. I'm looking to see the comments. Yeah, okay, just checking. Now, this is an excellent comment. It may sound strange, but when I had a hysterectomy at the age of 29, I grieved the child I thought I was supposed to bring into the world. Yes, we can grieve the life we thought we were going to have. We think we're going to, you know, a friend of mine thought she was going to get married and have kids. She's 50 now. She never got married. She didn't have kids. She's had to grieve that loss and figure out how to process that and integrate it into her reality. And it makes sense that you would grieve the loss of a child having an early hysterectomy like that. So moving into and through the grief is so important, to acknowledge it honestly, choosing to recover it, to recover from it as best you can so you can move into that new reality. You could ask yourself, what could have been different in the relationship, or the relationship of the person who passes, or what could have been better? What did you want more of? That may help you discover what you might want to heal and to address. If it's a time issue, you know, we grieve the loss of the time with them. We need to acknowledge that and just move into it and trust it. Sometimes when we're in a grief, we might blame others for how we feel. We have a little misplaced anger. In a situation where we've had somebody in our family or friend who's been murdered, there's a lot of anger there, as you can imagine. And we do blame the other person. They caused it. We have to be careful that we don't get stuck in that as well, because we need to move into some forgiveness. I shouldn't say need to, because it's your choice. Some people will move into forgiveness and decide what to do here and how to process that. That's a whole other layer when we've had somebody's been murdered, because it's so unfair and so wrong. We have to process that as well. Eventually, people usually move into that feeling of acceptance that, yes, life really sucks sometimes, and I can't do anything about it. But I do understand I'm responsible for what I do with these emotions. And that's when people will set up foundations to help other people, or might be of counsel for others and guide others as they go through their processes. So we have to be careful about recognizing your responsibility and what you do with your feelings. And that's not to give you a judgment thing. Now, no self-judgment. I don't want you sitting there go, I'm so bad at this. That's not the point. The point is to be curious and notice and accept and love yourself. You're doing the best you can, aren't you? You really are. You're doing the best you can. Acknowledge it. Love yourself and say, you know what? It's all good. I'm doing the best I can. If I have to do this, that's what I'm going to do. We want to make sure, too, when you're processing your grief, that you understand what you're doing. Some people, when they're ignoring or denying grief, they keep themselves too busy, too active, they overeat, they drink, they cover up what they're feeling. That's a sign of incomplete grief, okay? Incomplete, we have to figure out what's going on. Where are we incomplete? What did we want more of? What could have been better? What are we missing? And as usual, I'm talking a lot, but this is an important topic. Being complete doesn't mean we forget the person. It means we finish the emotions. Okay, we just finish the emotions. We need to acknowledge the truth of our relationship, whatever it is, how we feel, honesty. Now, forgiveness is huge, lots of times. I'm looking at the comments because, again, I tell you to talk and you don't look. What are your thoughts about grief compounded with survivor's guilt? Hi, JC. Grief by murder, sudden death by drunk driver, some other sudden unexpected thing. Yes. Survivor's guilt. Yes. Guilt. Guilt is really when we've done something wrong. We've intended to hurt somebody. That's really part of the definition of guilt. We didn't do something we should have, so we intended. So survivor's guilt, we didn't do anything, okay? So it's an irrational form of guilt. Okay, so that's the first understanding. We have to understand that it's irrational. We didn't do anything wrong. We have nothing to apologize for. We have to then move into the bigger, the greater understanding that there is a reason for everything that we may or may not ever know. I know that sounds so pithy and so whatever. I don't like it, but there is something there that is important for us to acknowledge, okay? People who get stuck in that survivor feeling, it's a feeling of taking on responsibility for something that's out of their control. They have to acknowledge what they're responsible for. They have to reclaim their power and realize they're only responsible for how they are living. They're not responsible for anything else. They're not responsible for an accident. They're not responsible for a murder. They're not responsible for a miscarriage, any of that stuff. They're not responsible. So when they are taking that guilt on, they are taking the power from someplace else that doesn't belong to them. Okay, so that's something that will need to be discovered, learned, become aware of as they're processing their grief here. There's so much that happens in life that gives us grief that we have to just do the best we can to stay in our own energies as much as we can. Now, getting back to forgiveness for a minute, if you did something wrong, you can apologize. Yes, of course. But forgiveness, what this is, and it can involve forgiving yourself as well, forgiving yourself for carrying the grief, forgiving yourself for not being there, forgiving yourself for should have or could have done these other things. Forgiveness is when you don't let the memory hurt you anymore. You're shifting the memory. You're shifting your energy. Michael Beckwith has a process that I've used, and I use a similar one. So this is kind of a mix between his and mine right now. But what you do is if you feel as though you need to forgive someone or you'd like to forgive someone, is in your mind's eye, you call them up before you, okay, and you visualize them before you. When you do this, you may have some feelings come up, and that's okay. Just notice them. Don't deal with it yet. Just notice them. And what you do is you say, I forgive you for, and then continue, whatever it is. I forgive you for this, I forgive you for that, etc. I release you from this cord that connects us together, this energy that connects us together. I release you from the pain that has kept us connected in this negative way. I'm sorry, I, and then you continue. I'm sorry, I, this, that, this, that. But the important part here is that you say, I let go of the energetic tie of the pain. I let go of it. I release it to be dissolved. I release it to go back up into God's energy. And you can also say things like, I love you. I forgive you. Okay, so whatever might be spurring guilt or grief or anything, you may have some residual anger that your spouse passed. And you can say, I forgive you for leaving me early. You're not blaming him. You're acknowledging the energetic connection of the anger and wishing he was still here. I forgive you for leaving me early. I forgive you for not being here to help me change that freaking light bulb. I forgive you for not being able to tell me this before you passed. I release you from my pain connection that you're still experiencing because of my pain. I release you from the obligation to having been here for me. I'm sorry, and you can go into whatever you need to be sorry for or want to be sorry for. I let go of the energetic tie of the pain, and I love you so much. I'm sorry that we didn't get to spend more time together, but I understand you love me, and I love you. So you can do this forgiveness process. And what will happen if you do this with some regularity, another little magical thing here, if you do this with some regularity, when you call up that vision of whoever you're bringing in front of you in your mind's eye, you'll notice the emotions you experience start to shift. The pain may not come up next time. So if you ended a relationship and you bring that person up in front of you and right away you had the initial reaction of, I hate you, you're so irritating, I'm frustrated with you, you feel all the leftover emotions that haven't been processed yet. Okay, this is what's happening. The leftover emotions are coming up. So you just kind of notice them and say, you know what, I forgive you for not being there for me. I forgive you for not listening to me. I forgive you for this, 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 this. I release you. I'm sorry I didn't listen to you. I'm sorry I let go of that energetic tie. I let you go. I just let you go. The next time you do it, you may notice those feelings aren't there anymore. So try this. The more you practice it, the better the emotions get. It's the same thing if you've lost the person who's passed. It's the same thing if you've lost an animal. Same thing if you've lost a job, whatever your grief process is. Very important. You can also do a letter to release the pain, okay? You're saying, and this might be very good for, I think it was Charlotte who had mentioned earlier about some of the grief she's holding on to, and then somebody else did something too. You can do a letter. And I know that sounds cliche. People are like, oh, just write a letter. Well, have a plan on how you're going to write the letter. Because what you want to do is release the pain from the relationship. Not necessarily the pain another person caused you, but the pain of the loss, the pain of the time you don't have, the pain of those unmet hopes and dreams and expectations that aren't going to be brought to fruition. You're going to be saying goodbye to wishing somebody did something differently or you did something differently, whatever it is. So you're releasing the pain, not the relationship. Okay, the relationship may still be there if that's your intention. Now, of course, if you want to let a relationship go, put that part in there. So I apologize for, same thing, very similar to the forgiveness process, but you're writing it out. I apologize for blah, blah, blah. I forgive you for blah, blah, blah. I want you to know, and then the important part, goodbye. Saying goodbye, I'm never going to see you again. You're not saying goodbye, I never want to hear from you again. You're saying goodbye to the pain that is attached to that person. You can also do a letter to yourself as well. So if you're having guilt, that might be a good thing to do. Guilt, or you're judging yourself for not moving through, or you just, you know, you ended your relationship and you can't forgive yourself for whatever you said or did. You can do these processes, either doing it out loud or writing it in a letter to do this. It can be very beneficial to do this and allow that to come up. I know it sounds simple, but simplicity is best. Simple usually works the best. We don't want to get too long and drawn out with this. The big things I've talked about is allowing the emotions to come up and out. That is huge. And the fact that society has kind of taught us not to express our emotions, not to be sad, not to cry in front of somebody, not to get upset. And that society has said, well, there's only a certain amount of time to grieve. I had a friend whose mother died, and her father began dating within 2 months, which I know we all go, oh, that's a little fast, right? But the part we don't know is that their relationship had been kind of questionable. And also, she had been sick for some time, so he'd already processed a lot of those emotions. He didn't need a whole lot of time after the mother passed before he was ready to look around and see what was out there. But the kids were still in their own grief process that their mother had passed, and they thought it was being disloyal for the father to go out and find somebody else and start dating. So everybody had their own expectations about how grief should be, but they weren't in alignment with each other. And they don't have to be in alignment, but people have to give each other space and understand. The kids needed to understand the father was lonely and wanted somebody around, and he had already done a bit of his grief process. The kids didn't know all of that. They knew it, but they didn't know it. So they had to move through this stuff on their own and recognize they wanted their father to be happy. So everyone has their own. We've got to acknowledge that with each other. When we're supporting somebody else in grief, people are very uncomfortable with loss. So we don't ask how somebody's doing. We don't ask, what's going on, how they miss them even. You know, are you missing somebody? We want to divert our emotions, and we want to divert the person's emotions as well and make them happier like we can make them happier. But we want to do that, and it's really not the way to do it. What we're doing is just, we're distracting them. We're trying to distract them. We're trying to rationalize. And we end up using dismissive words that make them feel unheard. Now, this can also apply to other normal conversations, not just grief conversations. If you're talking to somebody, are you really hearing them? You know, are you really hearing what they're saying? Are you responding to the emotions with the statements? Or are you just, you know, doing like, you know, your dog dies, well, you can just get a new one, not realizing the dog has been in the family for 18 years. It's part of the family. Same thing for anything. Acknowledge those emotions. The word survivor actually can be a little bit of keeping somebody stuck. You know, I noticed that the other day when I was reading the obituaries, and it said survived by, and I'm thinking, survived by? What an interesting way of saying that. There must be another way to say that. I mean, we all know it means they're still here, but I don't know. It just was a weird feeling for me. People who are going through grief don't need to be fixed. They need to be heard. They need to be loved. They need to be there, have somebody there with them. They need to have somebody acknowledge. So, okay, I think I might be able to wrap up on this. You know, we wonder sometimes, can anything good come out of grief? Can anything good come out of grief? And yes, it does. Because like I was saying earlier, you have a greater depth within yourself. You have a greater depth of the capacity to love, to be empathetic, to be compassionate. You have a greater ability to create these emotional connections with other people. If you have a hard time connecting with other people because of a loss, because of grief, that means you're incomplete. You need to step into the emotions, find out where you're incomplete. What is it? Allow it to come up. Allowing it to come up makes a huge difference. Do that. Be there. If you notice as time goes that, you know, 4 or 5 years later, you feel like you're not better off, maybe sooner than that if you're not better than off, there is nothing wrong with going to get some counseling and have somebody support you and maybe help you look at things from a different angle. We have the added benefit of having that spiritual connection, you know, the connection with believing spirit continues, that our loved ones still continue. They're not gone. They've just changed forms. That makes a big difference to me. When I have losses now, yes, I'll be sad, but I know they're still there. So it does, it really makes a big difference to me, and it helps me process things faster, and I also understand that I can talk to them as much as I want, and so can you. We can just talk as much as we want, and that really does help. So I believe having that faith that there is something on the other side helps us a lot. Okay, finishing, I should look at the comments. Yes, Metamorphosis is saying she enjoys writing her feelings out as a poem style. That is awesome. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you, Patty. I'm happy I'm happy that some of these words may have helped you. For some reason, it just seems so important to talk about this today, and it got more important after last week when people were saying grief would be good, grief would be good. And even today, as I was working, I kept thinking about it and coming back to it. If you're interested in processing your grief more, or if you're having an experience, like I said, we are having the grief weekend, July 17th, the weekend of July 17th. We're going to have all sorts of fun. We're not going to sit there in every workshop here and cry all the time and just bring everything up. We're not doing that. Okay, we're helping you look at things from a different perspective so that you can move through the grief in a healthy way, or so you can connect yourself with people on the other side. So that's part of that weekend. It should be inspiring and healing at the same time. So just a little message on that again. So the program book for Lilydale Assembly, I hear it's coming out this month. We will see about that. Maybe the end of the month, the actual physical book. The online version should be out in 2 or 3 weeks. And if you go to Lilydale's page, Lilydale Assembly Incorporated on Facebook, you will see the events are starting to be added for the summer. There's a few in there now. Not a whole lot, but there's some. And you can also hit up some of the mediums' websites, too, because if they're teaching a workshop, it should be on their website as well. Let's see. You guys are very welcome. I'm so happy you are here. So you can connect with me at ColleenVanderZijden.com or psychicmediumcolleen.com. And please do follow me here on my page, Colleen VanderZijden, Medium and Intuitive Life Coach. If you know anybody who's struggling with grief, feel free to share this show with them. The point of doing these shows is to help people. And so if people are still struggling a little bit, maybe it will help them look at it from a little bit of a different perspective and understand the process is actually perfectly normal, but also the benefits of allowing the emotions up and out. So I think I will end with that. I do want to thank you all for watching and listening. It has been a wonderful evening talking with you. And I will see you next week. And I don't remember what I'm talking about next week, so you'll find out when I post it. So you guys have a great week, and I will see you later. Bye. Oh.